Well, iron ore prices might have hit the skids these past 3 months, less than half of their earlier peak, over $200 per tonne. However, the rest of Australia's resources industry seems to be enjoying an extraordinary run at the moment. It's amazing. From coal to natural gas, gold, rare earths, you name it, prices and demand are very strong. And despite what some of the naysayers might claim, that is good news for the Australian economy. Soaring coal prices, though, in particular, have placed our mining and energy exports on track to reach a record $349 billion this year. And that, as I said, even as the value of what is normally our biggest export, iron ore, is soft compared to where it was only 6 months ago. As I said, it's a good news story for the nation, although how this fits into the broader push that seems to be on even within this country to reach net zero by 2050, I'm not sure. Well, someone who obviously is looking at all of this with great detail is Stephen Galilee. He's the CEO of the New South Wales Minerals Council. He's on the line. Stephen, good morning to you.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, you've got a bit of a pep in your step. Geez, $349 billion of exports this year. It's amazing, the resources sector.
Well, we are seeing very healthy prices for our commodity exports out of New South Wales. Coal, as you mentioned, gold and copper as well. And there's a very strong demand for a lot of the new emerging resource commodities, lithium and nickel and cobalt and those sorts of things too. So it's a good time to be in the mining industry right now.
Sure is. The coal story is fascinating, though. We're about to have this climate conference, the latest iteration of it, in Glasgow. It's expected there the Australian government will make some commitment to try to reach net zero CO2 emissions by 2050. I don't think they can do it, but they'll claim they can, like everyone else probably. That seems to be the global thrust from the political establishment. And yet, whilst all of that's going on in the real world, in the sort of the tangible here and now, the market for thermal coal, which of course is the coal that's used for power generation, around the world is booming.
Well, the two issues are linked in relation to the price we're seeing for the thermal coal exported out of the Hunter Valley. It's a very high-quality product. I mean, not all coal is the same, and our Hunter Valley thermal coal is the best quality thermal coal in the world. And what that means in the context of countries wanting to reduce their emissions is that they need to use less coal to generate the heat in their power stations for the steam to turn those turbines that deliver the electricity down into the grid. So the reason why these prices for our thermal coal out of Newcastle in particular are so high is because of the high quality of the coal and the lower emissions that it generates compared to coal from other places like Indonesia and South Africa. So it's a good news story on emissions as well as a good news story for our local coal mining industry.
Yeah, and of course all of this also, if we can't forget this, in the context of China basically locking Australian coal exports out in their sort of petulant way. But they might have to sort of chew on a bit of humble pie here because as we speak, hundreds of millions of Chinese people are being affected by power rationing. They obviously are still getting coal from somewhere. It's probably the lower grade Indonesian coal and lower grade Chinese coal. But they are having problems. They might have to come and say, well, look, we need 100 million tonnes of yours again, Australia.
Well, in the end, it all boils down to supply and demand.
Yep.
And there is a limited amount of supply of this high-quality coal that we have out of New South Wales and from Australia. And there is increasing demand for it in the context of the climate change issues, in the context of the northern winter that's approaching, in the context of problems of supply in the production of coal in China and other parts of the world. So we are, I mean, just 12 months ago, the price of our thermal coal out of Newcastle per tonne was below $50 US. It's now over $200 US. It's at the highest level in the last decade, as high as I can remember it in my 10 years in this job. And the price for the coal that is used to make steel is also at record levels too. So we are very well placed in New South Wales with our high quality coal to take advantage of this. And ironically, those that are calling for reduced investment in the coal industry are restricting that supply at a time of high demand. They are sending those prices higher and they are generating a renewed interest in investment in coal overall.
Yes, well, that's the way the market works, isn't it?
That's right.
Interestingly enough, though, the Federal Industry Department have put out some notes on all of this and they suggest that coal as a commodity still faces significant competing forces medium to long term. Is that how you read the situation?
Oh, there are definitely changes going on in the global coal market, and those changes are happening in different ways in different parts of the world. In Europe, for example, we're seeing declining demand for coal. Those are advanced economies at different stages of their economic development and their energy transition. But across Southeast Asia, where most of our export markets are, we're seeing economies at different stages of development. We're seeing over 450 coal-fired power stations operating across the region right now, not including China, and at least another 70 currently under construction. And what that means is ongoing strong demand for our high-quality coal to feed those power stations for several decades to come, which is good news for the certainty of demand we expect for the sector over that period.
See, this is where the nuance in the debate, I think, can sometimes get lost in the bravado headlines going around the place. But just as we said earlier, oils ain't oils, as they once famously said. I mean, not all coal, as you've rightly said, Stephen, is the same quality around the world. The coal that comes out of the Hunter Valley is arguably world's best coal. Now, yes, you burn coal, you get a CO2 dividend, fine. But if you're burning Hunter Valley coal, it's far more efficient than if you're burning, say, brown coal from somewhere else, let alone coal from Indonesia or China. So could it be the case that as global demand for coal in, say, the next 40 years peters somewhat, the demand for the top quality Australian coal may remain very, very strong because, as you say, all these new coal-fired power stations are coming on around the world. It may be, though, in order to meet emission reduction targets, the operators of those facilities stop buying coal from source A and then buy it from Australia, source B, knowing that it's a better, more efficient coal to put into the generator.
That is exactly what many expect will happen over time. We are a high-quality product at the top end of the market. And to put it in perspective, we produce around 5% of the world's coal. If we stop exporting our coal, those power stations, those 450 or so power stations across Southeast Asia, will get the coal they need from elsewhere, and it will be a lower quality coal. And they'll need to buy more of it, they'll need to use more of it, and they'll need to generate more emissions to deliver the same amount of electricity to their populations. So our high-quality coal is a significant competitive advantage in an environment where people are trying to reduce their emissions while delivering that electricity to their populations. And we expect over the next 10, 20, 30 years, even as global coal demand falls, a demand for our high-quality product will continue to be strong and potentially even increase over that period.
So I suppose to put it simply, we've got the Wagyu of coal, right? So you know, that's what people want, the marbling. Now, before you go then, we're in this broader context and we've got the Glasgow conference about to start and there'll be a lot of pressure on Australia's political establishment to quote-unquote do something about our CO2 emissions, and we are a very resource-oriented export economy, and a lot of those resources that we've established are considered bad products in the eyes of some of the environmental zealots around the world. How does our political class reconcile all of these different things we've just spoken about? Because it's not going to be an easy balancing act for them.
Well, our industry has a role to play in the context of climate change right across all of our resources. And we understand that and we're doing that. And a good demonstration of that is the announcement recently of the New South Wales government that they believe they're going to hit their emissions reductions targets earlier than they thought. They're doing that on the basis of current policy settings, not asking industries to do anything additional to what we're doing now. So that's a strong endorsement of what our industry and other sectors are already doing to reduce emissions across the board. And it shows that you can have these resources industries, these strong export sectors, while also making a contribution to reducing emissions here and around the world too.
So we can have our coal export industry as strong as it is today, if not stronger into the future, and at the same time not risk foreign investment backlashes because we're not trying to rein it in as some would want us to do?
Well, we've also got significant growth potential in many of the new and emerging minerals, critical minerals, rare earths, those sorts of new commodities that are increasingly needed for the renewable energy technology that's in increasing demand around the world too. We've got an abundance of high quality resources of that nature here in New South Wales and across Australia. And it's very important that we develop those sectors too. So we do have traditional strengths in some of the coal and gas sector resource export markets, and we have those new and emerging opportunities too. So combine that strong demand across the board with the excellent and very, very robust prices we're seeing for so many of our commodities, and it's a good time to be in the resources sector.
Seems to be those numbers speak for themselves, don't they? Almost $350 billion worth of exports in 1 year. And for those that want to kneecap a lot of that, those rivers of gold, some of it, of course, coming from gold, I mean, they have to realise, don't they, the taxes that state and federal governments clip on the way through as this ticket passes helps fund all sorts of things from hospitals and schools to welfare to roads, you name it. I mean, this is a very significant chunk of the budget.
There'll be, we would expect, over $2 billion of royalties generated by the mining sector in New South Wales for the New South Wales government in this financial year. And that will be a significant upward revision on what the New South Wales Treasury had forecast previously. And that's consistent with what we've seen generally over the last decade. And those royalties do go to the New South Wales government, do go to the New South Wales people to help fund schools and hospitals and teachers and nurses and police, to help the New South Wales government manage its budget. And that happens in New South Wales. It happens in Queensland, of course, in Western Australia, and at Commonwealth level too. It's a very important source of revenue, not to mention all the jobs and investment that the sector is sustaining right across the country. So in the end, as long as people want to live their lives, they need minerals that come from the ground to facilitate that. It has always been the case, and it always will be the case. What the minerals coming out of the ground will be can change from time to time, but civilization depends upon what the resources industry can deliver.
It's been that way since ancient times. Stephen, great
indeed
to talk.
It has.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My pleasure. Stephen Galilee, as you know, the CEO of the New South Wales Minerals Council.